Welcome to a podcast for everyone. Practical conversations answering your questions about how to make websites and mobile apps work for everyone. This podcast series is brought to you by UIE's All You Can Learn, Rosenfeld Media, and the Passiello Group. Today, Whitney Quisenberry will be talking to Sharon Rush about Easy Checks.
Welcome to this episode of A Podcast for Everyone. Whether you are in charge of the user experience, the development, or the strategy for a website, our goal is to help you make your site accessible without sacrificing design or innovation. I'm Whitney Quisenberry. I'm the co-author with Sarah Horton of a new book from Rosenfeld Media, A Web for Everyone. Today, I'm talking to the extraordinary Sharon Rush. Sharon is the director of Nobility, home to projects like the Accessibility Internet Rallies, AccessWorks. They do projects to help companies make their sites accessible, and they run the annual AccessU conference. We'll talk about that at the end. She's also part of the education and outreach group at the Web Accessibility Initiative at the WC3. She joins us today to talk about Easy Checks and how they can help you get your site on the road to part of being a web for everyone. Welcome, Sharon.
Thanks, Whitney. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. Before we dive in, I want to just mention the URL so we make sure we get it in the tape. That URL for Easy Checks is www.w3.org/wai/eval/preliminary. And the full title of this page is Easy Checks, a First Review of Web Accessibility. You know, Sharon, that sounds almost practical, and this is from a standards organization.
Yeah. Are you surprised? You sound like you're very surprised at that. That was our goal, in fact. We wanted something that was practical and that really, truly was easy.
Yeah, it sounds like we all know what we need to do, but we don't always know where to start. It's great to see some material out there that'll help. So tell me about who created the Easy Checks and how you worked on it.
Well, you mentioned a minute ago that I was part of the W3C's Education and Outreach Working Group for the Web Accessibility Initiative. And that's a group of volunteers and invited experts who take all of those fabulous, very, very technical documents that are developed around HTML5 and CSS and all the accessibility standards, the web content accessibility guidelines, all of those things. What we try to do is digest them and do outreach that will help, you know, lay people use them, understand what they are, and be able to really use them in a practical way. And one of the things that we kept hearing was that, boy, you know, I just feel overwhelmed when I come to the W3C. I'm interested in accessibility, but I really can't even begin to know how to apply those web content accessibility guidelines or WCAG. So what we decided was, why don't we make a really easy way for people who aren't technical, who don't necessarily have automated testing tools or any of that, but just to get an idea of what does accessibility mean and how do I know if I'm even in the ballpark?
Cool. So you see why I was a little surprised about something called Easy connected with standards, but it's really great to hear that kind of project. I have a really big question, which is how did you decide what you should include? I assume the Easy Check are things that are really important, but how did you decide what to include?
Well, yeah, that is a good question. And that part wasn't an easy thing to do because, you know, there are some things that create great barriers for accessibility, but that aren't really easy to check. So we start by kind of developing a framework that says, here are the requirements in order to be an Easy Check. It has to be all these things, but paramount was it has to be easy to make a decision. It has to be easy to make a call on whether or not it passes or fails. Now, we weren't always successful, and I think you'll find as you look at the Easy Checks that we say, well, here's what you can do. You can take this step and you can do this, but even if you get a green light on this, you'll probably want to go further. If you get a red light on this, at least you know that you have a problem. So it's not all black and white either through the Easy Checks.
Okay, so two things. They had to be things that we could do, like someone like me who's not very technical could just look at a site and be able to pretty easily tell, well, maybe not if it met the guidelines, but it certainly can tell if it fails.
That is correct.
Okay, and also that these are things that they're kind of important to get started with accessibility. So if it fails these, then maybe some of the deeper things don't matter that much because you haven't even gotten the door open.
That is exactly correct, too.
Okay. So let's pick one of them apart and talk about how it works and why it's important. You know, the first one on the list is page title. It seems pretty basic, doesn't it?
Well, one of the reasons that we put that as the first one is because it's relatively easy to check, and it's the first thing that you often encounter when you come to a website. So we thought, okay, we'll start with the page title. Does it have a page title? Does it not? And also relatively easy to understand the importance of, because people who are listening to the web need that for orientation, to understand where they are. Am I on the right page? Am I where I thought I was going to be? If the page title is announced and is clear and gives that information, then they have success.
Are you talking about the title that's up in the title bar, or are you talking about the title that might be like, you know, a big display title on the page?
The title that is in the title bar, shown in the window title bar. Yes, ma'am.
So if you're listening to the web with a screen reader, that gets read to you as you enter a page?
It does. Yes, that's the first thing that you hear.
Okay, so you know that if you clicked on a link, that you got to the place you wanted to be.
That is correct.
Okay. So the second one is headings. Again, that doesn't sound like a really technical thing.
No, checking for headings, but now what you have to do there is to make sure that you're not just looking at the page to see if there's big, bold text. In this case, you have to actually do a little bit more investigation and see, has it been marked up as a heading? So before people get real scared about, oh my gosh, I have to know code, we do also introduce in the easy checks some easy tools that you can just put in your browser and that you can use to help you find those things.
Oh, cool. So I don't have to have, you know, a web editor or to have a technical development environment?
Right. And you don't have to open the source code and start digging through the source code. But you can download some of these tools. And, you know, that's one of the first things we kind of take you through is how do you choose the tools that will work and that will be easy to use and the results of which that you can understand also very easily.
Okay. So this sounds like you're really addressing something that I hear a lot when I talk to project teams, which is that they say we want to do it, but the whole thing seems daunting and they don't know where to start. So you've told us that someone who isn't that technical could use easy checks. Here's my real question. If you fixed the things that were in easy checks, like let's say you found out that your site didn't have good headings or didn't have good page titles and you actually fixed them, how much of a difference does that make?
Well, it makes a huge difference because those are the ways that people even orient to the information on the page to begin with. You know, you used the phrase earlier about opening the door. You definitely are then opening the door so that people, they know where they are, they know how to get among the different sections where they've landed, and they just have a really useful way to interact with the information that they've come upon.
Yeah, I noticed that the page actually breaks these into a couple of parts. There's this kind of page title, and then there's some things that are really about the text. I don't think we often think about the content of the page when we think about accessibility. And a lot of people jump right into worrying about, is it JavaScript and does it, you know, do things in complicated ways that are easy? But this sounds like it's stuff that would apply to even a very, very basic website.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was our goal, to make sure that anyone, and also regardless of the tools, if you are using, you know, WordPress or Drupal or some content management system, these easy checks still apply and you can use them really sequentially, or you can jump around and see what, you know, oh, well, I just added some multimedia. I just want to check that out.
So if you've just added something new.
Right. If you've just added something new to your site and you just want to go check on that particular part of it.
You said something really interesting, which is this isn't a sequence. So it's not a process. It's a series of checks that you can use. So tell me how you would decide when to check something.
Well, certainly you're welcome to, and people have used this sequentially, just gone one right after the other and done all the checks. But in some cases, you may have just added a new feature and you're not sure if you can reach that or activate that with a keyboard. So you might use the keyboard access check all by itself. Or if you've added a new sidebar and you say, I wonder if that text contrast meets the requirement for people who have color blindness or low vision, and you just want to check that one thing, then you can really segment this out and check whatever it is that's of concern, or maybe that you have responsibility for, if it's media, you know, or some other aspect.
Oh, I think that's nice, because I think often, I mean, I know there are sites where one person does everything, but a lot of times I would think that the people in charge of multimedia might be different than the people in charge of, say, writing forms. And so this lets you get the right check to the right person.
Exactly. Yeah. That was what we were hoping for. Now, for people who are going to be at CSUN, the Assistive Technology Conference, we're going to be trying to corral some people to really do some usability tests on this EasyChecks itself. So if people are at CSUN and they want to find us and do that, Sean Henry is my co-chair at the Education and Outreach Working Group, and we have a couple of different sessions. So just come find us, because we'd love to get feedback from people about the way that they use it and how they've found it to be useful or how it could be more useful.
Well, since you mentioned CSUN, that's the CSUN conference, that's CSUN in San Diego from the 18th to the 21st of March. You actually gave me a great lead into what I was going to ask you next. For those of us who work in UX, working with real users is an important part of developing any project. So first of all, I'm really glad to hear that you're actually testing the EasyChecks, but I want to actually ask you about where you think usability testing fits into accessibility.
Oh, Whitney, I think usability testing is so important because, you know, there's a difference between conformance to a technical standard and usefulness to a person with a disability. And so I think Education and Outreach, our working group, most definitely has the human perspective. And so we want to give people resources that certainly, by all means, meet the standards and conform to the standards, because that's really important in terms of technology interoperability. But ultimately, the most important thing is whether someone with a disability can get the information and interact with it and perform the same functions, do it in an efficient way. So, you know, I'm so much a fan of your work because of the fact that you understand that intersection, you know, as well as anyone, and that it's an important thing for people to remember. Conformance by itself is kind of almost secondary.
Yeah, you know, when I started in usability, we used to do heuristic or, you know, expert evaluations. And the way I was taught to do them is first you did the expert evaluation and you fixed all the problems that you could see easily. And then when you had something you really thought was working, you took it to users and you tried it out with them to make sure that it really worked. So you would really find different things. We would find technical problems, but the usability testing would find problems like, yeah, it works, but it doesn't work the way people want it to work, or it doesn't really do the things they need. And I think it's great to hear that getting into accessibility as well.
Well, yeah, and often that it doesn't work the way they expect it to work. You know, the user expectation is something that I think in the accessibility field, you have screen reader users who they're managing some pretty complex interactions with the screen readers and the way they use the keyboards for certain things. And then if the designer decides to introduce a keyboard command that contradicts that, maybe technically it doesn't interfere with accessibility conformance, but when it comes to use, it's going to be a different story. And so fortunately for us on Education and Outreach, we have participants, group participants in the working group who have disabilities of various kinds. And so we get that feedback immediately. And we hope that we've integrated that into, you know, one of the things you'll find on the EasyChecks is we have different sections that expand and collapse in order to talk a little bit about the tools that you might use here or give you some more tips or some more definitions. And we had to really fiddle around with that expand and collapse function because of the way it interacts with various assistive technologies and what were the expectations of people with disabilities who would come on the expand and collapse function.
Well, I also noticed that one of the links on the page, it links to another page that talks about involving users in evaluating web accessibility. I think that's really helpful to have some guidance there as well.
Yeah, we also want to not just include that in our own group of people, but encourage other people to understand that it's really not that difficult to include users with disabilities in your testing processes.
So it sounds like we've got a great thing here. We've got a strong standard that's an international standard with some choices about where to start, some tools to help you get started that's been informed by actual users with disabilities as well as experts, and also guidance to help people who are evaluating their own website include people with disabilities in that testing. So just to say it again, you can find the Easy Checks two ways. If you go to the homepage of the Web Accessibility Initiative, you can look for Easy Checks under Evaluating Accessibility. Or let's repeat the URL. It's www.w3.org/WAI/eval/preliminary. And before we run out of time and wrap up, Sharon, I would love to get you to tell us about AccessU, your conference coming up May 13th to 15th in Austin, Texas. And in full disclosure, Sarah Hurton and I are both really excited that we'll both be presenting at this year's event.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're very excited that you're coming. The whole usability track at AccessU this year is going to be one of the strongest that it's ever been, thanks to the work that you and Sarah and others are doing. So, yeah, we're very excited about AccessU this year. It's the 12th annual AccessU. We get the run of the St. Edward's University campus. It's a beautiful campus in South Austin, looking right over downtown. And they're in between classes, so we have the full run of the campus for those 3 days. And we really try to provide very practical, just like the Easy Check, something that's practical that you can take home and use right away. And we have tracks in usability, we have technical tracks, policy and managing tracks, and really hope to see as many people as possible come to Austin in May. We haven't turned on the big heater yet.
Who are some of the other stars that'll be there?
Well, Derek Featherstone from Simply Accessible is going to be there. Glenda Sims, she's a stalwart, always a great contributor to AccessU. Estelle Weil is going to be there. We have quite a bit of expertise of HTML5, CSS, all the new techniques that people are using, as well as some very basic and very introductory classes as well.
So it'll work for someone just getting started and for someone who's trying to do innovative design.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, I really look forward to seeing you there. Sharon, thank you so much. This has been Sharon Rush from Nobility talking to us about Easy Checks and getting started with accessibility.
Thanks for having me, Whitney. It was my pleasure.
And thanks to all of you for listening in. And of course, a special thanks to our sponsors, UIE, Rosenfeld Media, and the Passiello Group for making this series happen. Be sure to follow us at A Web for Everyone on Twitter. That's at A Web for Everyone. We'll be posting information about future podcasts there. And of course, if you go to our book site at Rosenfeld Media, we have lots of resources available for you as well.
Thanks for joining us for A Podcast for Everyone. This series is a companion to the book A Web for Everyone, co-authored by Sarah Horton and Whitney Quisenberry. Be sure to tell us what you want to learn next at awebforeveryone@gmail.com. This podcast series is brought to you by UIE's All You Can Learn. UIE's All You Can Learn will give you the skills and techniques you need for a competitive design advantage with 24/7 access to UX experts and topics. Rosenfeld Media. Rosenfeld Media offers unequaled UX expertise in print and in person. Their experts consult, teach, and write books like A Web for Everyone. The Passiello Group. The Passiello Group helps organizations make their technology accessible to everyone, including people with disabilities. As always, thanks for listening.